Okay, we're back in the saddle here again in teaching on the life of Christ. And we're teaching the life of Christ. And I'd said many times before, really, we actually teach the ministry of Christ because we really don't know a whole lot about his personal life. His first 30 years, we talked about, you know, the few years, the few things that the Scripture does tell us. It doesn't tell us a whole lot. But we look at his ministry and... praise God. If that's what God wanted us to know, then that's the important stuff to know. People get caught up on a lot of things and trying to figure a lot of stuff out. I don't bother with that much at all. You know, I have enough trouble just trying to learn all the stuff the Bible has in it without trying to fantasize about something else. So, we've been teaching on Jesus' healing ministry and looking specifically at individuals that were healed by Jesus, because there's a lot of wonderful things to learn when you see how Jesus ministered, what he expected of people, because we find out that there's things that he expected of people. And as we look through these things, how people responded to him, how he responded back. And if God changes not, then we know it's not going to be done some different way. Many people think, well, no, today's different. No, it's not. It doesn't change. And that's why really, the Word of God doesn't work for people because people don't work the Word. People, generally speaking, in Christianity, they've gone off to their own way of thinking of what Christianity is. And so things no longer work. And you got the Bible doesn't change. I mean, the same things that they had to believe and walk in back in those days, we have to believe and walk into today. It changes not. I don't care how much society changes. It don't matter. God's not moved by our societies. He don't care about that. That's not what impresses him at all. It's faith in the Word of God. And if anybody can respond to faith in the Word of God, God will work for you. Now, the last time we talked about the gentleman who brought a lame man to Jesus and ended up tearing the roof off, and we looked at their faith. Jesus said he saw their faith. I really like to teach on that. I mean, to me, it's excellent to see, because I learned so much over the years from that of how to walk in faith concerning healing and walk in line with it. Tonight we're going to look at another one. We're going to look in Matthew, the 9th chapter, we're going to. And this is another one. We see many things that are taught that really by Jesus like with the man who was lame and was taken up on the roof, we got a lot of explanation on that in that instant from the Scripture, which really became a really good teaching on the areas of faith. Some of the healings are very just sort of short things, you know. But we're going to look tonight at the woman with the issue of blood, starting with Matthew, Mark, and Luke all carry that one. We'll look at them. But we're going to look at that. There's a lot said here. And we're going to look at the woman, the issue of blood, and also Jairus. And there's two of them tied together. And in both of them, there's different areas that you can learn. And because, you know, lots of times people will face certain things and they'll say, well, we don't know what to do about it here. Well, we can see, we're going to learn some things here, how to operate in faith. We're going to find out tonight about when things change, we don't. You're going to find it because you don't change. We want to see Jesus' instructions to Jairus concerning his faith. Many people make big mistakes in this in Christianity when they're faith. They'll go along and be in faith with something and all of a sudden circumstances change, so they change how they're believing. And what they have done is really gotten out of faith and stopped everything. And they'll walk around saying about, well, I'm believing God for this. Now the next time something changes, you're going to move off of that. You don't change what you believe because circumstances change. You stay believing the same thing. Unless God specifically tells you to do something. And I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin told us, and I listened to him many times. I would listen to him pray. We would have prayer meetings with Kenneth Hagin, and he would pray. And I would listen to him pray. I learned a lot listening to other people pray. Learned a lot of things about prayer. Got a lot of revelations just listening to people pray. And I would listen to him, and he'd pray and say something to the Lord about, you know, a certain thing, and he would tell him what the Scripture says, this or that. And he would say to the Lord, now, Lord, this is the direction I'm walking in. Now, if you want to do something different, you let me know, and I'll do it. See, people turn around sometimes. We need to understand the New Testament is not to us like the law. You know, the New Testament lays out on guidelines of what to do, and what you and I do is be led by the Spirit. The Spirit will lead you in line with the Word, and sometimes the Holy Spirit, because there's some things that you can do numbers of different ways. scripturally. They're scripturally accurate to do it. You know, there's ways to get healing. Healing, people got healed in different ways. Sometimes we can make a step in a certain direction and be walking. The Lord said, I want you to do this instead. That's why we got to be listening to the Spirit. I know sometimes people don't pay any attention to that. They get so stuck on, you know, they're doing their thing. No, you want to listen to the Holy Spirit. If God tells us to do something else, if He wants us to head in a different direction to do it, you need to listen. The good example of that was Fred Price's wife. Fred Price and his wife were standing years ago when she had liver cancer, which was really a death sentence. And they were standing in faith for her healing. And the Lord spoke to them one day, because they were standing, nothing's happening, nothing's changing over a period of time. And the Lord spoke to her one day and said, he said this to her. He said, I want you. He said, you have a doctor in your congregation who's a cancer specialist. He said, I want you to go to him. And you do whatever he tells you to do. And you do it. She ended up healed of cancer. Well, surely he didn't get her healed of cancer. Healed of this liver cancer. He helped her along. But the reason was, they found out and understood. And I heard Fred say it. And I have it on a video, an older video that he did. But he talked about the fact. He said, if God wouldn't have led us in the direction we did, if she would have gotten healed without any kind of other help or anything, he said she'd end up having cancer again. Said it came on her. Because he said she was doing things in her life, what she was doing was really, she was causing her body a lot of trouble. She never drank water. She only drank coffee. The only liquid she ever drank was coffee. She never ate any kind of other thing than, like, say, some kind of cooked or fried vegetable. She fried things. She wouldn't eat. And she really died, nothing else. And really, she was messing her body up. She never ate any other stuff. You know, it wasn't a matter of coffee was wrong. It was wrong to drink coffee. But you can't just drink coffee. That can't be your, you know, you're going to do things. And really, what she was doing, she found out that she was doing things that was causing her problems. It wasn't just the devil. And so God really, through that, taught her how to take care of her body some. You know, we do have to do that a little bit, you know. And people don't think they do. You know, faith don't take the place of smart. You know, there's things that you don't ever have to pray to God about if you do some things smart. You'll never have to pray and ask Him to help you out of if you do smart. And that doesn't mean we sit around all the time. I don't believe in the standpoint of all this diet nonsense they do today and all these things, because more people are into worry than they are in faith about all the kind of stuff. But you got to use some sense. I mean, you know, I like ice cream, but I know this. You can't eat ice cream all the time or you're going to puke. You know, you can't do it no matter how much you like it. You got to do other things. And, you know, I figured my parents had a little bit of brains. They used to try to get us to eat other stuff. I thought there was a reason probably for that. And there was. You know, they didn't want us to just, you know, eat you just, you like, you know, when I was a kid, if I'd ate all the time what I like, you know what, I'd probably turned out with a third ear or something. You know, I just, you don't, what would go on in your body? But so there's wisdom. And we want to look at these things. And we're going to find out, here we have an example, Jairus, he's a guy who's going to, and he pays attention to what Jesus says. We also have the woman with the issue of blood, who we're going to find out, and we see the principles of faith here, of walking in faith, and these will really help you if you learn to follow and practice these things in doing this. Now, in Matthew, the 9th chapter, we're going to start at verse 18 in Matthew, and it says, while he spoke these things to them, he says, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live. Because we want to find out that there's a little bit difference in statements here that are made about what went on here. He says, so Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And now I'm going to look, because we'll be jumping back and forth, and I want to go over into Mark. Mark has the same incident, and Mark says, tells us a little bit different. In Mark 5, in verse 21, if we turn there, Mark 5, 21, Mark has this same incident about this one Jairus. Is going to find out, that's what his name is, as we go over to Luke here, we'll find out. It says, now, in verse 21 of Mark 5, it says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and it says, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hand on her, that she may be healed. It says, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, in Luke, the 3rd chapter, we're going to find... No, I think, excuse me, I think it's Luke, the 8th chapter. I have it down here, but I don't think it should be the 8th chapter. I think I think it's Luke 8. I'm pretty sure that's when it's supposed to be. Luke 8, 40. I'm pretty sure that's correct there. 8:40. Making sure. Okay, yes, it is 8:40. When it started 8:40, it says, "And so it, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him." And it says, "Behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him." So we see this thing starts off, and it starts off where Jesus comes back. There's a guy who says, "Hey, Jesus, come to my house." But now there's going to be something take place along the way. And so we're going to go back to Matthew again. We're going to be jumping back and forth here. We're going to read about this woman with the issue of blood. So he has a daughter who's dying. One said that she was dead, but we're going to find out, because when it's told in detail, she wasn't dead. She was at the point of death, one says. But we're going to find out that before Jesus gets there, she does die. There's really some really good things we can learn from this. So here this guy is, you know, he's in dire need. Jesus said, yeah, he says, "Come to my house, you know, lay your hands on her, this she'll live." So that's what he said to her. He told Jesus, if Jesus came to his house, laid his hands on her, she would live. And that's important. Remember that, because as we go on and look at this, see, a lot of people start off to read these things, and they read them, then they go through the one with the issue of blood, they forget about what went on in the beginning. And we need to understand this man's confession. This man just spoke what he believed. He believed that if Jesus would lay hands on his daughter, she would live. That's what he believed. So, we go over now, and we're going to look at Matthew 9th chapter again. I want to read here again. In verse 20, on Matthew, the 9th chapter, it says, "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.'" Said, "But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, 'Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well.'" He says, "And the woman was made well from that hour." From that hour. So go over now to Mark, and Mark, we're going to read what Mark said about the same incident. We'll find out some other things. Hallelujah. In Mark, the 5th chapter, and we go to verse 25, says, and it says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." So now we're getting a little bit of information about her beforehand of her situation was. She must have had money, but now being sick, she don't have no money no more. And she had gone to the doctors, and they couldn't do anything for her. And it says, "When she heard about Jesus, she came from behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Now, let's quick go over to Luke, to the 8th chapter again. We're going to look at Luke and read to see what Luke said about this incident. Luke, in the 8th chapter, verse 43, says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years and who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could be and not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped, and Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged and pressed on you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that there was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. We'll stop there. We don't want to go into the ruler of the temple. What we want to do is look at this, is her, because now they put the whole thing out there. So when you look at all the things that were written, so we find out about this woman. This woman's been sick for a long period of time. She has a flow of blood. And according to the law, she would not, a woman with a flow of blood, if you look back in the law, she would have not been allowed to be in public. She wouldn't have allowed to. In fact, you know, if a woman had a flow of blood, if she sat down, like, say, on a chair or something like that, that chair became unclean. Nobody else could go sit on that chair. That if they'd have to sanctify that chair, clean it, do they had a ritual that you went through then and all that kind of stuff. Or if they sat on any kind of thing, you weren't allowed to, you know, it was unclean. So, but for her, it's being in public. And so, if you don't, people don't know that. Most people, they read the Bible like, you know, they think about the American culture. Well, it wasn't like the American culture. So, from her standpoint, to enter into a crowd, I mean, really, in many sense, she's taking her life into her own hands, because they're, I'm sure that there was always some, you know, Pharisees and stuff around. It seemed to always be. So she goes out. She has, we understand the fact that she must have had a good enough, you know, amount of money, that, you know, she must have had a pretty good living, but she had lost that trying to be healed. She spent all her money trying to do that. So she was at a point she didn't have any more money. So she, you know, was still in a desperate situation. Now, we found out also in reading through these, the one they say that she heard about Jesus. So when we understand this, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. She heard about Jesus. Now, if you look at a lot of the things that we read in up to now, we had talked about different areas and that stuff where Jesus, where they would say that they would just, you know, they just try to touch his clothes, you know, to be healed. And that was one of the things that people did, you know, they knew that they could do that. So she probably heard about that. She didn't come up with a new idea and say, like, I'm just going to sneak up there and touch his clothes. She heard about if people would only do that. You know, they could be healed just by touching his clothes. You know, it's one thing, a person, whether anointed or not, is we don't think about it much today or do it. Really, in many ways, we operate on very low levels of faith. We have only certain ways that we believe in, and we really limit ourselves by how we believe in general. If we read the Bible, we find out that, you know, just like they believe, you know, if Peter's shadow would fall on them, they would be healed. A lot of people think, you know, look in the areas of touching, but, you know, God will lots of times work with you of however your faith will be. We find out that he works with people according to their faith, how they operate in. What they do is just like the one guy says, you don't have to go to my house. You just say the word. Jairus said, you got to come to my house. So you got to come to my house. You know what? If Jairus would have believed, you could just say the word and my daughter would be healed. It would have worked. But see, Jesus has to basically, he has to go along. Now understand, God's going to cooperate with you on the level of your faith. He is always going to cooperate with you in the level of your faith. Now, God may go a little bit beyond, but understand this. Our faith will either limit us or put us over the top on how we view things. Because we find out with these people, it's about having really what you're believing, what you're believing for, and moving in that direction. This woman, now we understand, when she was healed, we understand this. Jesus did not say, I healed you. He didn't say that. Now, people say, well, Jesus healed this woman. That's not what Jesus said. We need to understand, why did Jesus say it? It's no different today than it is any other time, even back then. There is a God side to things and there's a man side. If you don't do the man side, the God side never happens. Healing, there's a God side and a man side. You have your part of walking in faith, and then God does the healing. but you don't do your side, God doesn't do his side. It always requires us. And there, you need to understand this. You're never doing it alone. It's not God. If God's going to do it alone, well, then let him do it. I don't have to work and do anything. See, a lot of people have that idea, well, God will just do it. No, he won't. There's a God's side and a man's side, and we make sure we do our side. This woman did her side. She believed a certain thing. She heard, and what she heard, she believed. What she heard, she believed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. It always does. It never changes. It's always the same. Faith always comes by hearing something. It comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the Word. She heard about Jesus. She said, okay, I heard about him. Then she did something. And we need to understand this. There's two parts to faith. We see faith has two parts. We learn two parts of faith here. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, or I can only touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. So she went home and sat down on the sofa and said, see, I'm in faith. I'm believing God. See, I believe I do. This is what most people call faith. I made a confession, and now I go sit down somewhere. No, you have actions. What you say you believe, you must do. She did it. Now, her faith, she said, now she had to have heard that you could touch him and get healed. She had to hear that. I let you know this. You could do the same thing with me and be healed. I can just tell you, the Lord told me years ago, he said, whenever you pray for anybody, he said, the power of God's there to heal. It's always there to heal. He said, whenever you lay hands on us, he said, you lay hands on people by faith. He said, when you touch people, if I operate in faith, I don't have to feel a thing. The power of God's there to heal because I believe it. Now he said, what's going to show if anything happens now is about what the person does. What's the person do? It isn't about me. See, it doesn't matter. Remember Jesus, the power of God was present to heal and nobody was getting healed? Wasn't until a guy came along and had faith. And he had faith that could be seen. Not just wind blowing. they must have had the right words they were speaking, but they also had the right actions that they were doing. See, they believed that they got to Jesus, that he'd get healed. And really, I wouldn't need to hear what they say. I could watch what they do and tell you what these guys believed. We could see it. So we know what they was talking. They said, hey guys, let's get down here and get him. And they stood outside and said, man, we can't get in the house. One guy said, let's take a roof off. Good idea. We're going to get there. This guy's getting healed today. Now nobody's feeling a thing. And so it isn't a matter of feeling things. It isn't a matter of anything. This woman, she didn't feel great power or something as she came up to Jesus or anything. She's coming to touch a guy in a crowd. She's feeling people bumping her, and she's feeling, you know, trying to get through. It says a multitude. A multitude ain't 100 people. There's a multitude, and she's getting through this thing. She don't feel anything. She didn't feel anything till her faith did what she said. See, her faith was doing. There's always two parts of faith. There's the part of saying, and there's a part of doing. You always act like what you believe is true. You always act like it's so. You have to learn to do that. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. That's one of the greatest failures that people have. People say, I believe something, but when it comes to doing, lots of times people, that's where they're doing is like unbelief more than anything. It's like, you know, get shy. Sometimes your action is to voice things around people. There's one thing, I remember Kenneth Hagin talked about, Jesus spoke to him one time about it, was dealing with him in the area of finances. And he told him about things about finances. He said, if you believe in me for healing, he said, you'd boldly tell people you're well. He said, you wouldn't wait till you felt better. You'd just boldly tell people that you believe you're healed. He said, that's the way you do it. See, I learned from Kenneth Hagin that way. If you're timid in the areas about healing and you're timid about around people because you're worried about what people think of what you're going to say, it's going to limit your faith in the areas of healing. You're going to always have problems in that area. People who are I'm just going to tell you, it works that way. You can't be timid around people because people will try to keep you, and I'm not telling you they're trying to be bad. They don't know. And you know, if you want people to like you and kiss up on you, look, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution, so get over it. If you want to be liked a lot, don't follow Jesus. Because people are going to think you squirrely. Look at the stuff he did. They thought he was squirrely, yet it's working. The stuff's working and they're still mad at him. They still don't like him. We're going to go into things. They get mad at him. Yet what he does works. You know? I don't care what people say about me. What I do works. I know it works. So get, you know, if they don't like it. But you know what? I'm going to voice it. I'm going to say it whether they like it or not. You know, because they're going to have to live with the fact because it's going to come to pass. It's coming to pass. If I said it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you got to get that way. You got to get, we get very bold about it. Because really, that's how we glorify God. Till people can see God working, if we keep silent, you won't see nothing working. We don't, and we got to keep ourselves over in the area of bold. This woman, she sees something. She's being very bold. I mean, here's a lady that, according to the culture, needs stoned. I never had that. I bet people thought about it, but, you know, they really do. I mean, they get away with this kind of stuff. They could get away with it for following the law. But she comes along and she comes in and she touches Jesus. Notice this, and Jesus said he felt power go out of him. So in a disciple, he said, "Who touched me?" The disciples are thinking over in the natural. They're over in the natural. Why would Jesus walking through a crowd and said, "Who touched me?" Now, you know, there's one thing you've got to understand. The disciples weren't born again. When you read about these guys, they were pretty stupid. They didn't get spiritual stuff very much, but they weren't born again. And you know, what are you talking about? Somebody touched you. Look, we're in a crowd, guy. You know, can't see this multitude. They're bumping around on you and stuff. They touched you. And it's not what he's talking about. It's one thing, is faith. Faith, when faith is an actual operation in work, lots of times, whatever it is, if you're a person or anything like that, I know from my own personal sin, I know how to operate faith. I know how to draw the power of God. If I want somebody to lay their hands on me or something, I know how to get the power of God out of them into me. I know how to do it. I know my faith will pull it out of them. I know they don't have to try to put it into me. I can pull it right out of them. I've done it numbers of times. People have touched me in that stuff. And when they've touched me, when I was there, I wanted to receive something. You know, so I've had people ready to almost knock them down. Because the power comes out of them, it's such a jolt, it almost knocks them over. I've had it happen a number of times. I know how to pull the power out of a person. They got something and you want it, you go after it. And see, people, and it's like with her, she was after some faith in operation. I can tell you this. Now, sometimes I'll minister and I don't have any sense of anything going. You know, just like the other Sunday here with Alyssa. Alyssa talked about it more afterwards, about it. But Alyssa came up to have her hands laid on her, and I laid hands on Alyssa and that stuff. Now, I didn't feel a thing. Now, you know, but there's things I can sense in the realm of the Spirit when I'm doing things, but sometimes I don't have a sense of a flow of power, but yet I know power's flowing. There's things that you sense sometimes that you know, but you don't have any sense. Other times, I can feel, like this past Sunday, I touch people, I could feel the power flow. I could feel the power coming out of me. I'd touch people. But I've learned this over time. When the power flows, I can tell this. Some people pull more than other people. Some people, a little, it's like a trickle. Some people, it's not a trickle. Some people, I can touch them and it's just sort of like, whoa, man. It's like, I can just feel it, just like that. I mean, you just feel like a jolt. I could almost feel it's just the same if I touched an electrical socket. I could feel it the same way. You feel that power hit. And I can touch some people and they're pulling more. And you can tell it. There's some people, and I want to tell you this, it doesn't necessarily have to be with the people who know so much. I know some people don't know too much, but they can sure pull. They have faith concerning when hands are laid on them. They got faith something's going to happen. And power just right into them. Every time. So you can't always go. You know, people that seem so spiritual sometimes. I meet people who are really spiritual, and you have a hard time with them because they're sort of living in their knowledge, and they aren't yielding to things. And so you do. Like now, there on Sunday, I could feel the power. But Alyssa, I didn't. But Alyssa said to me later on and that day, she talked to me about it. She said, when you put your hands on my neck, she said, it felt like, she said, you know those heating pads you put in the microwave in? They say if you heat it a little bit too long, it almost burns when you're on. She said, it was really hot. She said, your hands, I had no sensation in my hands at all of any heat. Well, I didn't have any sensation of it. And she said, I could just feel it. She said, immediately, man, she said, the pain started leaving and started going. She said, I could feel that immediately. Well, see, I didn't. Just operating in the areas of faith. Now, she felt it. She felt the power go out. I didn't feel the power. I don't concern myself whether I feel or don't feel. I learned this a long time ago, and you need to learn. If you're going to minister to people, you can't think over it. Get out of your feelings and worrying about what you're feeling or anything. Forget that. Operate in faith. I don't need, sometimes the healing anointing comes on me, and I know about ministering. But I'm just going to tell you this. I've had just as many major things happen where people got healed when I had no sense of anointing whatsoever on me and just operated through faith. I've seen more things. So like I said, ministered to a guy years ago. We first started our church off. And he had his back was, vertebrae was welded in together, and he had a metal rod in it. And he come up after church. In fact, we had praying for people healing, and he didn't come up. And at that time, he was sort of new. He hadn't been around it much. And he came up at the end of the service and asked me if I'd pray for him. And I said, yeah. I said, I'll pray for you. I said, I don't have the anointing on me. I said, because I'd been ministering to people before. The anointing was on me, but that anointing lifted. You just can't make it happen. It don't just jump anytime you want it. And I said, we can always pray by faith, And I turned, laid hands on his back, and I prayed. And I did not feel a thing. I felt zero. Nothing, nada. I'm serious. I mean, it's just, we just prayed, and hey, we're just believing God together here concerning his back. And it's number one, we need a miracle concerning his back. We're not praying by a thing just a healing, because a healing ain't going to fix his back. He needs a miracle on his back. He needs things, those things are welded together. That junk, that they, however they do put in there, that's all got to change, those vertebrae and everything. And he's got a rod in there, So there needs a miracle. So we're just praying, just agreeing with God, we're just agreeing by faith. On the thing. We go home and we eat the stuff and go home. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll never forget. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I get a call on the phone talking to this guy. He goes home and said, gee, I got to tell you what happened to me. He said, he explained about his back then a little bit more detail. He said about the doctor's told him he's never allowed to lift more than 5 pounds. That's all he was allowed. 5 pounds he was allowed to lift. But he couldn't bend over. He couldn't bend down. If something fell on the floor, he'd have to get somebody else to pick it up, or he'd have to get on his knees or something and try to, whatever to do. But he couldn't bend to pick stuff up. And he said, I don't know. He said he had something there, whether I forget what it exactly was, dropped. He was in his hand, dropped. He said, not thinking. Not thinking. He said, I just bent over and picked it up. And he said, when I stood up, I realized, my God, I bent over and picked this thing up. So he said, oh my God, he started moving around, found out he could move, bend, no pain, nothing, just everything's real good. He ended up going back to the doctor. There's no metal rod there. It left. There's no metal rod. His vertebrae are all moved fine, moving. Everything's good. Now, we felt nothing when that happened. Nothing. Zero. See, and everybody's waiting. And this is one of the things. This is why we operate just generally on a very low level of faith. We're more toward the entertainment healing ministry. We got to see too much stuff. We got to be visualized. You take in our church just alone. I will guarantee you there's people. If you call for healing, they'll wait to see if something's happening goes on. Then they'll get up. They will come up. They won't come up right away. They won't walk up right away. Why? They're more visual. That's what they are. They talk about faith, but they don't have no faith. They're visual. They're waiting to see something. If see something, it looks like God's moving. Let's go do it. If it don't, see, they wouldn't know if God was moving or not because they're not operating in the areas of faith. They're operating in the areas of seeing. If you believed you were going to get something, would you run? If somebody said, I'm going to hand out $100 bills. Are you going to run up and get one? Are you going to run up there? But if God says, look, I'm going to hand out $100 bills. If you have to see one to find out, I'm going to run up there and see if he's going to hand them out. I'm going to get there to go see if I can get one. I mean, I got enough sense at least to find out. People don't. They'll sit around and wait and wait and wait and wait for a show. Then they wonder why things don't work. They can't work. They're never operating in faith. They say they believe, but their actions prove otherwise. That's why when if I know that I'm going to, I want something, I'll tell you, I get the opportunity, you go right after it. That's what you do. You go right after it, You don't wait. If you believe that Jesus Christ was there to heal you, people say, I wish I lived in the days of Jesus. Now, it wouldn't have helped you a bit. You'd still be as unbelieving as you are here today. You'd have been waiting to see if something was going to happen then. Just think about that crowd. We have a guy whose daughter's dying. He says, God, come. Come on, Jesus, get to my house. I want to heal my daughter. A woman comes along and touches you. Two people out of a multitude, I bet you 50% of them are sick. Two people, we're going to find out that two people get what they came for, and the rest of them will walk around going, ain't that something? but they're not going to get anything. And it's the simplicity that they won't operate in faith. They look at the other stuff, and it's like the Bible says about all, they marveled at what. Marveling don't get you nothing. Faith will get you things. Marveling at stuff. You know, it's to me, I wouldn't be interested in a healing service if I couldn't get healed at it and I needed it. I wouldn't even bother going. If I couldn't get healed at it, what's the point? You know, it's like, let's go to the doctor today and give him our money. We know he can't do anything for me, but let's go do it anyhow. Wouldn't that be stupid? And see, people got to get in their attitudes that they're going to get something. And we find here's two people that we're dealing with who believed they were going to get something, and their actions prove that out. They believe that something that if they're going to have, if what they're believing is going to happen, they're going to do it, it's going to happen to them. It's so. This woman believed, I can touch his garment. I will be made whole. She didn't say, I'm going to go down and try this out and see if this works and what's going on. She said, no, if I can touch him, I'm going to be made whole. I don't know why, maybe some people are more skeptical than others, but I was always in the thing, if God did something for somebody, that he would do that for me. See, I always believed that God really wasn't a respecter of person. I didn't believe I had to be Billy Graham to hear from God. I didn't believe, see, most Christians believe that they have to have a special ministry, a special something, and then God will do certain things. I've had people say to me, well, yeah, you're in the ministry, that's why God will do that for you. And I just think, you idiot, wake up. God's not a respecter of persons. Whatever he'll do, he'll do. If he did it for one person, he will do that for you. He's not a respecter of persons. If he healed one person, he'll heal Ed. You know? If he healed this woman and touched him, he'll heal Ed. You've got to get over the things of quit, you know, and say, well, God did this for this purpose. He did it for everybody's purpose. He did it for all our purposes. And get yourself into that thinking. Don't be moved because you feel something that has nothing to do. Kenneth Hagin said the greatest miracles that he ever saw happen in his services take place. He said happened at times when he said you would have thought no miracle was going to happen. Nothing was going to happen. He said it didn't seem like anything was going on. Didn't seem like anything was happening. And see, most people are moved by how they feel. Oh, we had a really good worship service. God will move. Now, think about that saying. That's unbelief. God will move because we did a good worship. Oh, if I didn't do a good worship, God goes home and he's done with me. You see, people think, they get into their ways of thinking. Now, we want to worship God. You know, and there's sometimes we get over in areas and we touch into God. You know, we get the sensation of that touching into God. And sometimes I don't. You know, I'll tell you, it's the most amazing thing. Sometimes when service is really moving good and that stuff, and I think about when I go up, you know, I've found many times the anointing was stronger on me than sometimes when things didn't seem like seemed pretty flat. And I'll go up and the anointing's strong on me. It's like, whoa, what is this? See, you can't rely. You can't rely on your feelings. They're liars. Your feelings are liars. You know, what we think about stuff, I mean, it's lies. Because your faith, and it's with me, I know God. The Lord told me years ago, he said, I don't care how you feel. He spoke this to me and he told me, I don't care how you feel or whatever's going on. He said, you're anointed. And he said this to me, don't you ever say you're not. Now that wasn't to me about just being a minister. You're anointed. Don't you ever say you're not. Oh, well, I'll tell you, you just can't get the anointing working in here. It's just so bad. It's just, I'm not anointed today, huh? But see, what people don't understand, they're sitting in the congregation doing that and really quenching the anointing. And quenching the anointing. And they think that something else is going wrong and they don't realize they're part of what makes it don't work. They don't realize that. They don't understand. They're part of what doesn't make it work. Because they think that if I really feel something, God's there. This woman's walking up in a crowd. Look, nobody's feeling nothing. But they know Jesus does miracles. But nobody's feeling nothing. We're not feeling power. They're walking around. All these people are bumping into him. Just think of this. Nothing's happening. People are touching him without any faith. So see, it don't matter if he touches people. They're going to get something. But a woman comes along in faith and she touches him. She touches it and it says power went out of him. Power went out of him. See, if you want to hook up for the switch, really, the switch is faith. Faith is the switch that you turn on the power of God. It always is. It isn't how sincere you are. Well, you know, God will help us because we really need help. No, he won't. My words, there's billions of people in this world need help and they ain't getting none. Man, all kinds of bad things are going on. And we need, God made this simple system of faith, and to me, it is the most easy thing to do. It's easy compared to what we've been doing. It's easy. You know, I don't have to heal me. All I have to do is believe He will. That's all I got to do. You know, He's going to do it for me. You know, He told us, He said, we believe we receive it. He said, we'll have it. Why we'll have it? Because He's going to make sure I get it. My job is just to believe He gave it to me, and it's His job to see to it that I get it. And I know this, He is faithful. He never lies. If I'm in faith, it's impossible for God not to do it. Impossible. If He doesn't, He would be the devil, because He would be a liar. He would be just like the devil. If a person says, well, God, don't God heal me? You're a liar. God's healed you. You just, you know, in unbelief, don't get it. But don't call God the liar. God's always telling the truth. And see, I learned about it. If it goes, something goes wrong, it's Ed's fault. It's never God's fault. Why? He's faithful. He would never lie about it. Never. And so this woman, she had to believe like that. She's, well, I get a burn touch and I'm going to get well. The rest of the people are probably thinking, well, I hope I get some. Maybe I'll go get something. You know, I'll tell you, I really need help. But I ain't getting them nothing. And so they're following the crowd. Be a person of faith. In other words, one of the things I liked her, I like to think of this lady as sort of being in a church service. She's in a crowd of people sitting in a church, and she's the only one that came to church with a purpose. The rest of them are going to come to see what happens. That's most people that go to church. They come with no purpose. People come to get healed. They come for different reasons. I do different things for different the stuff that I want. I go down to Randy Greer's meeting. I always have something on mine I want. And I set my faith when I go there, I'm getting that. You need to understand. This is what most people don't have intent. Most people that go to Benny Hinn's meetings don't have intent to get healed. They want to get healed, but they don't have an intent to get healed. They haven't set that their purpose. You know what? That power of God that's in him, it works. It'd heal anybody that operate in faith. Anybody that operate in faith, they could get that. Anybody. Anybody. And God's so gracious that loads of people get healed that didn't really have any faith to get nothing. But if you had faith, it would be just like the woman with the issue of blood. You could just go touch the hem of his garment, you get healed. And see, we need to change the way we think about this stuff. This woman here, and I like it with me, is I look at her, she had an intent and purpose. I'm going there for the purpose to get healed. I met a guy just like that when I was out at Rhema, when they had, or in fact, it was the last camp meeting we went to after I graduated, and that we stayed there over July for camp meeting. And I worked down in the handicapped section and that stuff where they bring people in. We had some people that were in hospital beds, and you know they'd bring people in. But you know, after a couple of days, I could tell you basically who was going to get healed if it was, when it required faith, who was going to get healed, and I could tell you who wasn't. I could tell you, you know, you just because I would go and I would talk to people, and I would just, and you'd find out people, you know, there's people there, they're in desperate need, but they're not in faith. You know, and I remember Brother Hagin used to tell the people, he used to always say, make sure you come to the morning sessions. The morning sessions, they taught faith. That's what they taught on. They taught faith. Lots of times it was just faith for healing and stuff. They taught. And he said, if any service you get to that one. Well, see, everybody, this is most people's intent. They want to get the night service. Oh, you know, they're going to be ministering to people. But you know, if you don't learn to get in faith, those services may not produce anything for you. They may not produce nothing. And he used to tell them, you know, make sure you get to there. But anyhow, the one night we're coming in, an older gentleman comes down through, and he's on a cane, and he's walking, he's on a cane coming down through, and he came down to the handicap section, sat down. I introduced myself to him and talked to him, got him a chair, set him down, talked to him. And like he was in his 70s, something. He was from down in Texas, and he said, I couldn't, he said, this is the only night I could get up here. And he said, I drove from down Texas. He drove for a long distance. He was down below Dallas. He had driven the whole way up through to get to this meeting. And I really liked it because I said to him, I said, you come up to the meeting? I said, what'd you come up to the meeting for? You know, here he's coming to the handicap reception wall. Isn't enough? See, well, most people would never say anything to a person. You got to get a person to talk their faith. What are you here for? That's what I find out a lot of times with people. You know, you talk them, what are you ask them what they're there for? Most people, you know, they'll They'll want to have a reason why they'll just mumble around about for a lot of different reasons, but never for one of faith. This guy said, I came up here to get healed and go home. So what he just said right out to me. You know what he did? They laid on his people that night. He got hands laid on him. He got his hands laid on him, threw his cane down, and walked out and left. But see, he came with a purpose. He's like the woman with the issue of blood. He came that way. He came with an intent. I'm coming. They're going to lay hands on me. I'm going to get healed, and I'm going back home. Now, actually, he could have got healed at home if he wanted to. But probably the way that he was taught. Well, not he. Got to admit, his worked. At least he knew how to get in faith to get something. He knew how to do it. He said, man, I might go a long drive to get it. Hey, if I can believe to go for a long drive to get it, I don't care. I want healed. I go a long drive. You know, most people, and even faith people, will go a long drive for the doctor, but they wouldn't for something from God or something. They would do it for a lot of other reasons, but they wouldn't do it for that. But it's just like with this one. He was exactly like this woman. He came with an intent and purpose. I coming there, they're going to lay hands on me, and I'm going to get healed. He said, I'm going home. He was heading out through. I said, hey, do you want your cane? He said, I don't need that thing no more. I said, glory to God. You know what most people do? They'd take their wheelchair with them and they'd take their stuff. While at that same camp meeting, we had a woman get up out, walked out of the wheelchair, was in a wheelchair, walked out of the wheelchair. And by the end of camp meeting, she was back in her wheelchair again. And you know why? Her actions. She wanted to be in the handicap section where she could, said she had a good seat down there. She come in one night and she was in a wheelchair, come down the handicap. I said, what do you do in a wheelchair? She said, oh, I'll get a good seat down there. I said, you stay here tonight. I said, you'll never get out of that chair again. And she did. See, some people are just as dumb as a stick. Now, a lot of people say, I wouldn't do that. I've seen so many people do similar things. They do the similar things. They walk out, they turn around and believe God, then go walk off and just throw the switch of faith off and go back to their old life like they had this thing, just go live this other life again and do this stuff. And you don't. Man, I've seen some things in my time. I've seen some things. And that's why it's looking at these. You can learn. I learned from these ones. You have an intent. You got to set yourself. What's your purpose for what you're doing? Find out. Set yourself in faith. I'm going for a purpose. There's something that I want. There's something that I need. There's things I need. God loves that. God loves it when individuals have an intent or a purpose to something of what they're doing. They're not just, you know, here to say, well, let's see what happens. That's not what we're doing. Our intent is to specifically get something. This woman had that intent. Jesus said to her, honey, your faith made you well. Your faith did this. And it did. It was her faith did do it. Now, understand this. Her faith came by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, she heard what God was doing. She heard what God did. She believed it. It wasn't absent from God. But you need to understand this. Your faith counts. It ain't just God. God can't take credit for everything. Now, we give God glory from this reason. If He wasn't involved in it, no matter what we tried to do with it to make His kind of things work, they ain't happening. We glorify it, but understand, we get faith from His Word. We wouldn't have faith from God if God hadn't given it to us. It comes from His Word. We get it. But you know, God is glad when we keep it and use it. Walk in it makes Him real happy. Why? Because God is this. God is always a giver. Number one, He's always a giver. I'll tell you, God, I know this for a fact. He is disappointed when He can't do what He loves to do. And that's give. And I'm not talking about just money, healing, whatever it is. Whatever of His blessing that humanity needs, when He can't give it to Him, God is grieved. God loves to give. That's why Smith Wigglesworth understood that. He said, God will move over 1 million people just to get to a guy standing in faith. God will push through a crowd just to get out there to a guy. There's a guy in faith out there. Let's get him. Whoa! God is so excited to find it. Because I will tell you, you will be one in a million. You'll be one in a million. So most of Christianity, most people that get born again, they get born again, that's what they stay. Born again, and that's about it. That's about as far as things go. After that, well, if it's God's will, or if God wants it, or if God this and that, and that's where they stay. Thank God they're born again. They're going to heaven. Hallelujah. But, meanwhile, the devil will eat their lunch while they're here. the devil will do a lot of things to them, and they will see it. They'll look at other people get blessed, and it's always not nice, but you know, God just don't do that for everybody. The reason God don't do it for everybody is because of the thing of faith. It's the thing of faith. And that's why you want to walk by faith, because through faith, we reveal God's glory in the earth. God gets to do something through an individual that blesses humanity and shows that God's good. He's good. Just like with this lady. And understand, he said, your faith made you whole. Now, it sure did require his healing power, didn't it? Power went out of him to do it. But you know what? She was the one who had the switch in her hand, not him. She had the switch, not him. She did. She held the switch to whether the power of God was going to change her life or she was going to stay the same. It was her. Now, the power was there. I mean, the healing power was there. It was there all the time. It's just like we have a plug here. I can hold the plug out here. I don't care how much power is there. It doesn't matter. That holding the plug in my hand, you got to go over there and plug it in. You know, that receptacle don't do it by itself. Did you ever notice that you have to plug the stuff into it? You have to hook it up. Now, they do have, you know, systems where power is transmitted, you know, stuff through the air and things and stuff. They have that. In fact, they used to have lighting systems like that where power is transmitted and that stuff. And they found out, you know, people started making them weird and stuff, you know. But they could light lights and do stuff in areas and that stuff without wiring and that things. And I imagine some days stuff that probably really runs now, they're getting in a lot of stuff with the LEDs and different things that are running on lower and lower, you know, amounts of power. They could probably do more of that on very low power amounts of current and that stuff that would be transmitted. Now, we could light light bulbs. That's how we'd make sure when I was in the service, our antennas were working and that stuff. You'd put a light bulb on a stick, stick it up in the air, and as soon as it hit the front of the thing, it'd light up. In fact, sometimes they'd blow because we were putting out so much power. You couldn't keep it there long. They'd blow, but you take a light bulb and you put it up. You don't need to be hooked to nothing. There's so much power coming out of that antenna. It'll light you up. And so we used to, that's how you test your antenna. Make sure it's, is that thing transmitting? You don't go up and stick your hands up there. You know, go up and grab a CB antenna sometime. Let the guy hit the key. After you're done dancing, he'll turn the key off. It'll zap you a little bit. But this woman was healed. So you know, get on this. Is you know, follow her. Sit down and meditate on these kinds of things till you can really see how it's done. See, most people, like we hear, we can, you know, I'm sitting here talking about this some tonight. But it really takes time to really grasp to see how a person does something. You don't just really, you don't really grab the depth of a lot of things. It takes time to really look at what they did, how they did. But you'll find out this pattern of what she did, if we look along in this, we find out so many of these people that individuals are healed, this is what they did. They came to Jesus. Either they believed that he was going to do something. Or if he asked, they asked him something, he was going to do it. They believed it. Yet every time we find, there's almost always crowds. And the crowds ain't getting nothing. But there's somebody comes along and thinks he's going to do something. And these individuals, you find they come. They're not waiting to flow with the crowd. They're not really, you get the people of faith ain't really part of the crowd usually. They're not really part of the crowd. They're not like the rest of the crowd. These people are different. And it's because of their intent and their purpose of what they're doing. I want to go over, because we want to look at Jairus before we quit here tonight. We want to look at him and see it. Go back over to Matthew 9, because we want to look at this one. Remember this guy? He came and he told Jesus that his daughter would live if he would come and lay hands on him. And Jesus said, well, let's head to your house. In verse 23 of chapter 9 of Matthew, it says, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, make room for the girls not dead but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all the land. Now, if you read just Matthew and what Matthew said about this, you would not know why Jesus said she was only sleeping. You're going to find out why Jesus said she's only asleep. We're going to find that out. Let's go to Mark the 5th chapter. Mark the 5th chapter. Mark the 5th chapter in verse 35. Mark the 5th chapter verse 35 says, while he was still speaking, this is concerning Jesus talking to the woman who was just healed. Well, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler's synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead, why trouble the teacher now? Now listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said. You'll learn something about faith, about changing not. Jesus said, as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue. Now, as soon as he heard, why? This guy said, if you come and touch my daughter, you touch, she'll be healed. That's what he said. That's his faith. Jesus heard them say that the girl's dead. The father says, Jesus says to the father, do not be afraid, only believe. What is he supposed to believe? He's supposed to believe what he has been believing. She ain't dead. He goes, lays hands on her. She's going to live. If he would have changed what he believed, he would have got nothing, like a lot of people do. Circumstances change, they change what they believe. Jesus said, you just keep believing. And basically what he's saying, you just keep believing what you are believing. Now, he says, it says, and soon as Jesus heard, he said, don't be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he went to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw the turmoil and those who wept and wailed loudly. It says, when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, she's sleeping. Jesus is speaking Jairus' faith. Jesus is speaking Jairus' faith. He's in agreement with him. To agree is by touching anything they ask. It shall be done of them, of my Father which is in heaven. See, I watch it. Things happen and people come along and say, well, now it's too late. It's never too late. It's only as far as your faith goes. If your faith stops at a certain point, that's where it stops. That's where things stop. See, that's why Jesus said, you don't change what you believe. The circumstances should never change what you believe. If you're standing on the Word of God, the Word of God's right. The circumstance is not. Because circumstances can and will change. They'll change. So Jesus just agreed with them. He says, what they do? He says, they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, smart man. Now these are covenant people. You put them outside. I've learned this a lot of times. You get around this crowd of kids, Christians, you go into a hospital, the worst thing to do is having Christian family around trying to believe God. The best thing you can do is go in when none of them are there, or either throw them all out, because you won't get nothing done. Because they'll all be there in their unbelief. Oh yeah, it's so serious. Oh, it's so God gets so little when they see so, many things going on. And see, this is one thing. See, you don't change. You got to learn. Because I tell you, unbelief will affect. Because what happens, the person that's going through the problem, they have all them people standing around, their mourners, talking about praying. And, oh, let's pray for them. Oh, please, not you. Don't pray for me. Oh, dear Lord. Like one man, Kenneth Hagin, said years ago, he's a guy, he said his church, he said he was in the hospital, and something happened to him. It was pretty serious, but he said he was really doing good, and the doctors were recovering. He said, the worst thing ever happened, he said, my church started to pray for me, and they'd like to kill me. That's why I don't say a lot about things that happened to me until after I get everything fixed. Then I'll say about it, because too many people, you tell them what's going on at the time, and if they go to praying, you don't want them praying. No, they'll be talking, oh my God, this is, oh Lord, do something. Oh God, it's like, oh, nothing but unbelief. We don't need that. We don't need that. And I'm sure this, we don't find Jesus put out a lot of prayer requests. It's not, I've never, all those people I would ask, I have, friends and stuff and things that I would ask ministers, I had something to pray about, I'd ask them. I know them. And when you'd ask them, they would know what to pray about. But I'll tell you this, I wouldn't ask a lot of preachers. A lot of unbelief out there. You just don't throw everything out there. Make sure you got it. Well, here we find, you know, with this thing, these people, this great commotion, they ridiculed him. He put them all outside. It says he took the father and the mother of the child, and those who were with him entered with the child. Child was laying. It says, then he took the child by the hand and said to her, it's Hebrew, Tiatha, Kiyama, or whatever it is. It says, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. It says, immediately the girl arose, walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly not that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. And, from the standpoint, Jesus got in faith, and this is one thing. See, as Jesus got in faith, he agreed with Jairus. You need to understand this. This will help you a lot. Why sometimes you have not had success in the area of praying for people. Because you're praying maybe sometimes above their faith level. They're believing one thing and you're believing another. You will negate what's going on. You always find out the person who needs the prayer, what on earth do they believe? See, I've had people over the years, people say, we know so-and-so, a friend of ours in the hospital. Would you go in and just pray for him? I say, now, number one, I said, hold it. Did they ask you to have me come and pray? If you didn't, see, many people try to get somebody, they just, and they don't realize what they're doing. The person may not believe that. It can be a big waste of time. And I always tell them, I say, I will not come unless the person requests. They need to request that. It's different if I have somebody where I have authority over. I may be able to give your own child. You can go do that or somebody like that. But you can't just anybody just because they're your friend and you want them and what you want them to have, what you want them to have. They need to know. And when I find out, there's many times, even with Christians, I ask them what they're believing. What are you believing for? See, it's important. There's lots of people who can't believe for divine healing. Christians, they believe that if they go to the doctor will, they'll work and get through. Okay, I can join with their faith to believe in heading in that direction, and they can have a quick recovery. They can turn around and go that direction. But if I'm over here praying for divine healing and they're believing they're going through the operation, well, you just done messed up. And so you have to do that. Jesus walked in line with what Jairus believed. He hooked up with his faith. Jesus could have probably sat around and said something else and, done something else. But, he didn't. He hooked up with his faith and followed his faith. And so we find, Jairus' daughter, she's asleep. What's the whole thing? He said, my daughter's dying. If you go lay hands on her, she'll live. He treated her as if she was not dead. He ministered accordingly. He ministered according to his faith. He didn't treat her like she was. He didn't treat her, she was dead and gone. Did she? Did he? They said she's dead. He said, no, it's not. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Figuratively, she was dead. We can prove it. Watch this. In Luke 8. Luke 8. Let's see. Verse 49, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter's dead, do not trouble the teacher. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well. When he came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father, and the mother, and the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him because that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, calling, saying, little girl, arise. Now listen, then her spirit returned. She was dead. But you know what? Jesus is like God. He calls things that don't exist as though they do. He said, she's alive. Well, it's a lot easier to get a live person up off the bed than a dead one, isn't it? But the whole thing was, she is dead. Jesus is speaking by faith. See, most people want to talk and want their faith to talk in line with what's reasonable. That faith is not reasonable. If you want to be reasonable, join, some other group. But this Christian faith is not reasonable. Not to natural things. It's not reasonable. Jesus says, no, she's not dead. Why? Because his faith says she's alive. He's not going to say, yeah, she's dead. No, we're going to try to, now we're going to try to work this thing out, man. We're going to. He said, so her spirit came, he said, her spirit returned. She arose immediately, and he commanded that she begin something to eat. And so, but I want you to see this because we can learn about how faith operates. And because, and especially the areas of circumstances, both these people are facing circumstances. They had two of them with different circumstances. But the whole thing of it is, they what they believed, they followed out. We have Jairus where Jesus makes sure, you know, because in the middle of all this, he gets a report. Somebody comes back and says, don't trouble, she's dead, it's all over now. Man, you know how many times I've been in situations, have a hold of things by faith, and somebody comes along and says something, and everybody just kicks the towel in and says, well, you know, well, now it's, you know, that now, and you watch it. After what, you ain't got a hold of it no more. See, that happens all the time. People do that. They throw the towel in, you know, it's all over, you know. They stop. Their faith has a hold of it. See, because their faith is only within reason of a certain point, and that's it. Their faith it can only handle out to that point. Once you step across that line, then you know you can't believe beyond that. Now, you can't go out there. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believe. All things. And don't say, well, there's some person, certainty, but they get to certain points, and that's it. That's all you can do. No. I mean, Lazarus was dead for a while, wasn't he? He wasn't dead for 15 minutes, folks. And we need to get it within ourselves is don't limit your faith and don't let circumstances dictate to you about what your faith will do. Don't let it, because I will guarantee you circumstances will always change. I have had very few things at times that I don't stand in faith about something when in actually situations where most of the time things will always take a turn for the worse. When I'm believing God, it'll get worse than what it was. Till everything's done, till it shows up, what I'm believing for, it's already gotten worse. It's almost always like that. But you know, God, one of the things we need to know, God wants us to operate in faith. That's what His great pleasure is for you and I, that you and I would operate in the areas of faith. Let's not be moved because circumstances change. You're going to have it, and understand this. You're going to, generally people, and they aren't trying to be bad, they just don't know nothing about the faith thing. And they're going to try to tell you to stop. You know, they're going to ridicule you sometimes. You know, you're one of those old name it and claim it. Yes, I am. Let me alone. Stand back and watch. It's working. I'm going to claim what the Word of God says. I'm going to name what the Word of God says, and it's true. No matter, hey, if I agree with it or not, or say it or not, it's still true. It doesn't matter. God's word's true. And if God, you know, whatever God said he'd do and he promised, then that's what he will do. And that's it. There's no other thing to it. And if, you know, I've learned over time, there's times I have missed it. But I have never experienced one time in my Christian walk that God has missed it. Never one time. Never once. I've experienced Ed missing it, but I have never experienced him miss it. I have seen times that I've missed it, and he got me back and got me what I was believing for anyhow. So he got me back on track. But God is, if you will move over in the areas of the faith, God will always lead you into the areas of faith. And many times people don't realize when they're in the situations where things, circumstances are changing, that's when God's trying to get us to move over and stand. Don't move. Don't stand. And this is where people, they get a sense of that and they turn from it. Because, you know, number one, people think it's too scary. They're worried about what other people are going to say or going to think. Or, you know, boy, if I stand out there, what are they going to think of me? You know, it's like Noah building the ark. What are they going to think of me? Well, they had a lot of years to think weird of him, didn't they? Ain't any of you stand in faith that long lately? For 120 years? Yeah. Oh, okay. We ain't ever done that one, have we? We ain't done that one. He stood out there building that ark, out there doing that thing. For all that time, working on that thing, people ridiculing. You know, one day he got in the ark. And you know what? Everybody knew it was God. When all them animals showed up, he didn't have to hurt them. They showed up. They went inside, and Noah didn't close the door. The Bible says God closed the door. And I will tell you, loads of people wanted in that boat, but they didn't get in. But you know what? God didn't want any of the people on the outside. They chose that one. They chose to walk and live in unbelief. That's what they chose to walk in. They were the people who ridiculed. That crazy man down there. Who is that? Well, I'll tell you what. You and I are supposed to be one of those crazy people. Like Noah. We're supposed to be crazy like that. You know, we're supposed to just go build an ark or something. You know, God's going to tell us. And walking by faith, many times it's contrary to what else is going on around us. And people have a hard time with it. You're going to always have people have a hard time with faith. They do. You got to understand, you're always going to be in the areas. It's just like in Jesus' ministry. And look at the disciples. Every one of the disciples follows Jesus was put to death. People just don't get it. You know, people don't get this faith stuff. You know, they just don't understand it. And people who get to be Christians, they go to churches and stuff, but they're not taught how to believe God. They're not taught about it. You know, if they live in a world where, you know, everything has to make sense. Well, personally, I think the word God makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot, but it's contrary to whatever thing else that we see. You know, I mean, you know, we all can quote the scripture, you know, and say, you know, all things are possible to him that believe it. But I'm going to tell you what, it's another thing to believe that. Because, you know, we're operating out of limitations over time. Our faith may grow and we get to step out more, but I mean, my faith ain't the place that all things are possible yet for me. I'm still reaching out there at things. I'm still reaching out for more. But I have over time learned to reach out for some things. I can reach a lot further than I used to. I can go for things a lot further than I could go for before. But you learn that over time. But all things are possible. And it has to become a reality that you never stop. We're always shooting for more. We're always going for more. You know, walk around, start talking about God doing something for you. Think of something that seems ridiculous to the mind of everybody else and claim it. Claim it and say, you know, God's going to do that for me. Hallelujah. You know, he's going to do that one for me. And they'll all look at you and think, what an idiot. You just keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it over time. And you watch, you keep saying it. After a while, you'll start acting like it. And they'll say, now that we know they're going over it. They're out there now. They're acting like this thing's going to come to pass. And I will guarantee you, it will come to pass one day. It'll come to pass. We don't go near far enough in our believing. The world needs to see miracles. We can't, you know, have this little bit of faith in it. We gotta move to the extreme of what our world operates in. Jesus operated in the extreme. Jesus, you know, Peter, get down there, catch a fish. There's going to be a gold coin in his mouth. Pay the taxes. You know, come on back home. Well, whatever. Jesus operated in those areas of the miraculous, of operating over there, things that stunned people. You know, it's just like Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, we know you're a teacher sent from God, because nobody can do the things you do unless God is with them. Do people think of the church that way today? No. They don't even know if God ever showed up in the church. They don't even know if God was ever with us at all. They don't know. We have to take steps of extreme. These people that we found here, they took steps of extreme. They were different than everybody else that was in the crowd. One of the things, they were in faith. I can imagine. Could you imagine Jesus walking in Jairus and they're heading for that house? Now, they got to walk back with the guy that said, she's dead, and the rest of the crowd. Oh, boy, what are they going to do now? Yeah, Jesus said, yeah, you just keep believing what you said. Well, she's dead now, you know. Yeah, they were all the people that went to synagogue on Sunday. There was all the people who said they believed the Bible. Yeah, her, and that's what you're going to have, but, you know, that's the way it is. But you don't let it change it. But the one thing is that there happened a miracle. That little girl came out of that room. The little girl came out of the room. The one with the issue of blood got healed. Man, what can you say? You can knock them and don't like it all you want. But it happened. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Lord God, your word is great. I thank you, Father God. Father, you're changing us and taking us from glory to glory. Father God, I just want to thank you. Father, you're expanding us. And Father, I thank you as we've seen and understand these things tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord God, our faith is expanding to reach out. Hallelujah. Father God, for great things beyond our own physical imagination. But Lord God, the imagination of our spirit, the inner man, can see further, further beyond. Hallelujah. Lord God, from the inside, I can see much more than I can see from the outside. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm much bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Glory to God. And I want to thank you. My inward sight is leading me, Father God, to stretch out beyond. And I, Father, that's what we're going to do. Go out beyond. Father God, what Lord God has been the norm is not going to be the norm for us anymore. We're going beyond the norm. Hallelujah. Walking in a place, Lord God, where you can carry out your will to bless humanity and do marvelous and wonderful things for people. Hallelujah. Lord God, we want people to know that there is a God in heaven, that He's alive and He sent His Son, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, and that you're good. Lord God, and you want to do wonderful things for humanity. And we thank you, Father God, that we will be vessels that you can use. Lord God, we're going to be like the woman, hallelujah, who came and touched you. And Lord God, Jesus, you're going to say, your faith made you well. You're going to say to us, Lord God, our faith, hallelujah, we trusted Him, hallelujah. And Lord God, our faith is going to bring to pass the things that, Lord God, that you have been desiring for a long time, hallelujah, for people to stand in and do. Lord God, that your glory can be revealed, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.